John chapter 1, me again real quickly. Thank you, Brother Josh. Great music today. Thankful for all those piano players and musicians that can play and sing here. Blessing there. John the Baptist, as I mentioned already, again, if you're looking for a good pro-life verse, an unborn child reacted to an unborn Jesus Christ. And that's the power of what happens inside the womb and the power of Jesus Christ. And I want you to think about John the Baptist's life and his ministry. Before I explain that, as a reminder briefly, number one, remember this. Jesus says this about his cousin. He says that there's not a man born of woman greater than John the Baptist except Jesus himself. So if anybody should be our hero, biblically speaking, after Jesus, it probably would be the one that Jesus recommends to us, right? But look at his life. Not much is said about his upbringing, and not much is said about Jesus' upbringing. We know about his birth, and maybe a few months to a year or two later, he meets the wise men. There's debates about how old he was there. And then not much is said until he's 12, and then from 12 to about 30, you don't hear much about Jesus Christ. So we're not going to hear much about John the Baptist either. But John the Baptist had a significant ministry. He was going to be the MC or set the stage for the world, better yet, for the universe, in introducing the Son of God, the Savior of all mankind, to all of us. John the Baptist never experienced the joy of marriage. He was never a father. He never had a retirement plan. He never had a 401k. He never had a nice house. The Bible said his home was the wilderness and he ate locusts and wild honey. That was his dominant diet. I don't know about you, but I like honey. Can I get an amen right there? Honey's a blessing. But I'm not really excited about locusts, all right? That was his testimony. Then he begins to preach in, the Bible says, the wilderness. And he preached. And he preached with so much power that people came to hear him. He drew large crowds and the Bible called him. He had such a unique ministry because, don't miss this now, and I don't have time to go into all the details doctrinally, but he was awarded the baptism of John. Now, doctrinally, biblically speaking, that's different than the baptism we do today. For obvious reasons, because the crucifixion and the resurrection hadn't happened yet. So the baptism was different. The Bible calls it the baptism of John. He preaches. He tells it like it is. He's so powerful in his preaching that the Bible says in the book of Mark that Herod liked to hear him preach. Herod, the wicked king, in Mark chapter 6, the Bible says he gladly heard John the Baptist preach. And we know what happens. His wife protests John and eventually has John's head cut off. But don't forget, in his early 30s, he baptized Jesus Christ. As a young man, he preached to huge crowds, and who knows how many he baptized. And of course, his shining star of ministry would be the one the day that he baptized Jesus. And of course, even in that activity of baptizing Jesus Christ, he with humility said, I'm not going to baptize you. And Jesus, of course, expects it of him. And John the Baptist willingly obeys and baptizes the Son of God. And then John the Baptist is tragically executed. Head severed from his body, displayed on a platter before kings and leaders at a party and mocked. Many of us would say, wow, what a life. No house, no family, no money, no wealth. And yet Jesus calls him the greatest man born of woman. Wow. So tonight I want us to look at what John beheld in Jesus Christ. And I want you to notice just a few things. First of all, tonight, I want you to notice John says, I want everybody to know, and I mentioned this this morning, but I'm mentioning it tonight. He says, I want everybody to know that I am just a voice. That John's preaching was so powerful and John's lifestyle was so holy that people asked him if he was Jesus, if he was the Messiah, if he was the one that was to come. And John the Baptist, in his spirit of humility, says, I want everybody to know that I am just a voice. Look at John chapter 1 verse 22 real quickly. Let's set the stage. Let's make sure we get a hold of this truth. And John wants to make it very clear to all of us, down through the ages, 2,000 years later, he still wants to make it clear to all of us that he's just the voice. In verse 22, the Bible says this in John chapter 1. It says, then said they unto him, who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? He said he could have had a chance. He could have said, I'm related to Jesus. He could have said this. He could have said that. He could have said whatever he wanted. But he says, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. He says, I'm just fulfilling prophecy. I'm but just a voice. And this voice will echo loudly throughout this wilderness that the Messiah is about to come. He's just a voice. He's just a voice. Dr. Jack Howell preached a message many, many, many years ago on how he's just a voice. And listen, church, that's what we are. We're a voice till Jesus comes. And until he comes or until I die, I want this voice to speak of Jesus, to testify of Jesus, to sing of Jesus, to talk of Jesus. Listen, church, that's what the local church has got to do. That's what missions is all about. That's what missions do. It's going to be about in March, is a reminder that we are just voices taking the message globally. Sometimes you got to use your hands and deaf people, but still, it is a voice. It is a message. It is a method of communicating the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world. And John the Baptist says, hey, if this is my chance, if you really want to know who I am, if you really want to know what I'm all about, call me just the voice of preparation. Voice, all right? Now, number two, I want you to notice this one. I want you to notice his vision, his vision, his vision. Boy, I love this one. Brother Coons and I were talking before church tonight. We had a little prayer time before church, and he said somehow he loved the theme, and he said, boy, hopefully we don't have eye problems this year. Well, I love that statement. He's right. I've been blessed at 43 not to need readers yet. I keep hearing that day's going to come. I don't have contacts. I've never wore glasses. I just don't. Well, except for one wedding one time. I don't know what that was all about. But that's a whole other subject. My eyes are still 20/15 last time I checked. And I've been blessed with good vision. And I appreciate that. And I thank the Lord for that. But the fact is, even in my vision and all of us, whether we have glasses or contacts, we still miss things all the time. That's why football games and basketball games have what's called instant replay. Because referees miss things. But we all know how referees are. Can I get an amen right there? We all know when we're sitting in the stands that we do a whole lot better job than they would if we were on the court referee. Somebody say amen right there. And we all know how difficult it is for us to observe referees doing such a bad job when we can do better. Come on now. I'm preaching to myself. I'm preaching right at myself right there. And Debbie say, I'm preaching it right at myself here. But the point I'm trying to make is this. The vision and John's perspective is going to be so different. And today, church, let me tell you something. Our perspective of Jesus has got to change in America. We have taken the high lifting of Jesus and lowered him down too much. We have robbed him of his glory and robbed him of his power. And let's be honest tonight, church, he still loves us in spite of that. But tonight, church, we've got to realize how worthy he is, how holy he is, how powerful he is. And here's what John says. This is such a significant statement tonight, church. Don't miss what he says. His vision of Jesus, his what he's going to say about Jesus, and he's going to emphasize it. And guess what, church? He's going to preach the same message 2 days in a row. And it's simply this. Behold, the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God. And this is so significant because John gives us a huge clue that he understood dispensationally what was happening here. He knows that Jesus is the Lamb. Now his disciples, Jesus' disciples are going to come on the scene soon. In fact, in this same chapter, John chapter 1, you meet some of them. Don't miss this now. Until post-resurrection and post-ascension, some of his disciples still viewed him as king only. And he is king. But from the very get-go, John the Baptist says, I want everybody to understand, here he comes. And his vision, how he saw Jesus, how he beheld Jesus. The first words that came out of his mouth were simply this, behold, the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God. See, John the Baptist has been preaching to mostly Hebrews. He's been preaching to the Jews for the most part. And we understand that. I've already mentioned that Herod listened to him. Who knows what other Gentiles might have listened to him. But his ministry was specifically to the Jews. Why? He quotes Isaiah. Isaiah says he's going to be one that prepares Israel for Jesus' coming. But when he talks about Jesus, he could have called him Lord. He could have called him King. He could have called him God. He could have called him whatever he wants. But he says the Lamb. And that is significant. Because he says to you Jews, you Hebrews, you've got to understand something. for all these years, you sacrificed lamb after lamb after lamb. But this lamb, he takes the cake. He takes it all. He's going to settle the score. He's going to satisfy his judgment. Hey, my vision of him, you don't got it yet. But John the Baptist says, let me tell you what he is. He is, he is, he is the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God. Notice he doesn't even call him Son of God. He calls him the Lamb. The Lamb of God. The Lamb of God. The declaration of the second greatest man born of woman except for Jesus and John the Baptist and his testimony. His declaration. His message. His proclamation is simply, hey everybody, I've been preaching to you. I've baptized many of you. But there he is. Here he comes. And he is. He is. Woo! He is the Lamb of God. That's what John the Baptist said. Behold, the Lamb of God. In Jewish custom, it's very important to have a perfect, spotless lamb for sacrifice. But all those lambs that they would raise, and boy, they had ways of doing it. If you don't believe me, study in Genesis how Abraham and Isaac, and how they would raise lambs for perfection. Not a one of those earthly animals would touch this lamb that just walked on the scene. The perfect sacrificial Lamb of God. Church, do you see the significance of that? It's not an accident that John the Baptist says this. The first message preached about Jesus in an audience of people, he could have called him anything. And he's going to be called many titles. He's going to be called Lord. He's going to be called Rabbi. He's going to be called Master. He's going to be called the Son of God, the Son of Man. He's going to be called so many titles. But church, don't miss this tonight. When John the Baptist has his chance at the microphone in such a short time, in just a few days, a few months, he's going to die and he's going to leave this world. John the Baptist says, hey, behold, 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 behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God. Verse 29, it says, and I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Again, verse 29, it says, the next day John seeth, there's a vision statement, seeth Jesus coming in unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God. Verse 36, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, behold the Lamb of God. Boy, that's so significant tonight, church. You see, this thing tonight, really when it's all said and done, this morning I introduced you to the concept of beholding what God is capable of doing, how you believe and then behold. But when it's all said and done, what we really need to do tonight, church, as a goal, is to behold the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who makes all of this possible tonight. Amen. Number one, just call me the voice. Number two, don't miss my vision. Number three, I want you to notice this last one right here, and I love this. He calls attention to the word value. He calls attention to the word value. What are you talking about, preacher? I want you to look at Luke chapter 1, or John chapter 1 again. John chapter 1. And the Bible says this. Man, I love this. Don't mind me, I'm finna get Baptist, all right? Because John is not only going to tell us what his title is to him, he's going to tell him what that title comes with tonight. And he's going to say, let me tell you what the value of his title is. I'm going to relay to you a message that's better than any. The baptism of John that I've been doing for all of you guys is going to pale compared to what he's about to do for all of us. Because the Bible tells us something. Watch this now. Don't miss this truth. He's going to be the first man in the history of mankind. And then it will be eventually proven that he'll be the only man in the history of mankind that will be able to do what verse 29 says. Watch it, church. Read it with me now. Verse 29. The next day, John seeth Jesus. Remember, earlier he said he's the voice. Now he has the vision. And he saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which what? Come on now. Say it. Taketh what? Taketh away the sin of the world. This is huge tonight, church, because for all these years, the only thing the Jewish people in the nation of Israel could do with their sin was to just have God atone it. which means all God did was cover it. All he did was postpone judgment. He kicked the can down the road. The Jews still lived with shame and guilt. There was really no satisfaction of judgment. But when John sees Jesus, it's one of the most, it's the shortest message ever preached in the Bible, in my opinion, and yet the most powerful one. He says, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh. That means he's continually taketh away the sin of the world. That's your sin. That's my sin. Hey, Fallon, here it is for you. Praise God. There's a carnival for you. Hallelujah. Woo, a girl wanted to see a carnival. Hey, I'm talking about my sin has been taken away. My guilt has been taken away. My shame has been taken away by the only one who could do that. And his name is Jesus. Thank you, John the Baptist. Thank you, John the Baptist, for reminding us that he is the Lamb of God. And he is the one that taketh away the sin of the world." Woo, hallelujah for that. And that, my friend, is John's message about Jesus tonight. I don't know about you, but that was worth sitting up and listening to tonight. Your pastor did not preach tonight. My message would pale. If John the Baptist walking in this room right now, I don't care if he had, like, you know, his outfits were weird. He didn't wear a tie. He might even expose some weird parts of his body. I mean, his outfit was weird. I mean, the Bible tells us what he wore. But he didn't care. John the Baptist preached the shortest yet most powerful message in all the Bible. He said, "I'm just a voice." And here's what I see, my vision when I see Jesus, when I behold him. The title is the Lamb of God. Number three, as holy as you think I am, John the Baptist says, I'm a sinner. And I deserve hell. And me, John the Baptist, I'm hopeless. I was damned. I was condemned. But he, this one right here, buddy, look, he taketh away the sin of the world. Wow. Behold, the Lamb of God. Head your eyes are closed. Thank you for listening so much. Yeah.
place their trust in the wisdom of another. Some search for light in the dark. But like a child, I have come for simple faith in the only one who can change my heart.
I believe God. I believe His word is true. For I see what He can do when I call upon Him.
I will testify.
I believe God. I believe His word is true. For I see what He can do when I call upon His name. I believe God. So let the world say what they will. I will choose to serve Him still, knowing He will never change. I believe God.
This world. Justice for my soul, mercy said, no, I'm not gonna let you go. I'm not gonna let you slip away. You don't have to be afraid. Mercy said, no, sin will never take control. Life and death stood face to face. Darkness tried to steal my heart away. Thank you, Jesus. Mercy said no. For God so loved the world that He sent His Son to save us. From the cross He built a bridge to set us free. Oh, but deep within our hearts, there is still a war that rages. It makes a sacrifice so hard to see. As midnight fell on crucifixion day, the light of hope seemed oh so far away. As evil tried to stop redemption's flow, mercy said, no, I'm not gonna let you go. I'm not gonna let you slip away. You don't have to be afraid. Mercy said, no, sin will never take control. Life and death stood face to face. Darkness tried to steal my heart away. Thank you, Jesus. Mercy said no. And now when heaven looks at me, it's through the blood of Jesus, reminding me of one day long ago. I'm not gonna let you go. I'm not gonna let you slip away. You don't have to be afraid. Mercy said no. Sin will never take control. Life and death stood face to face. Darkness tried to steal my heart away. Thank you, Jesus. Mercy said no.